Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
Anthony Herron, Score Football Analyst.
It's been fun watching the fantastic physical specimen that Darnell Wright is. It was on full display last week, and there were some really big moments he had against the Bengals. But he's going to have a unique challenge this week against the leading sack artist in the National Football League. But we have heard the term unicorn utilized when describing Darnell Wright.
Just look how much time Caleb Williams has. It's max protection, and Colston Loveland runs what they call a sail route. He's wide open.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Anthony Herron receives credit for it. Tenacious job by Anthony Herron, number 99.
Mr. Hedden, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
Big and Herron on 670 The Score.
We ain't never scared. And apparently the snow is scared of us because the skies are blue now and I don't understand what's happening outside. Let's go to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. That is where we find our friend Anthony Herron. He's a friend of football. He's an analyst for 670 The Score. Of course, he hosts the post-game show. He hosts on Fox 32 as well with all of their Bears coverage. He's a former NFLer. He's a former front office member of a football team in the, was it the XFL, Ant? It was the XFL.
AFL.
So it was the AFL.
At the time, it was the AFL. Yeah, there were a number of different names and labels and whatnot, but at the time, yes, the Arena Football League.
Go Vipers.
Suit. There we go. The Tennessee Valley Vipers. Marshall knows it well. Down in Hunts, Vegas, the Rocket City.
I will not waste your time by talking about covering an AF2 team for a while in Austin. We have a lot of Bears stuff to get to. We love talking to Ant, and he will be on the Scores post-game show this Sunday from 5 o'clock to 6:45. Leading up to our coverage of Bulls and Jazz. And what were your big takeaways, either from what you talked about on post yesterday or maybe what you evaluated in your further examination of this game?
I try to remind people that we are in the infancy of this. There is a desire for the finish line to be apparent. And I feel like it's even in the midst of winning 6 of the last 7, that still is there. I do think the Bears are starting to beat folks into submission and just say, we're going to keep winning until you decide this is fun and until you decide to enjoy this. So it's like they're not only throwing haymakers in the fourth quarter at opponents, they're throwing haymakers at those of us who are still like our reflexes to say, well, but why isn't this better? It's not better because Ben Johnson's in his first year and Caleb Williams in his second year, and there's a whole lot of guys in their first couple of years in the National Football League who are figuring this thing out. And defensively, a lot of guys are beat up and banged up and out of the lineup. But life in the NFL still says if you're winning games, you're doing well. And that's worthy of enjoying, especially because of what we've been through with this franchise in recent years. And to be able to recognize the frailty that's there in it and to feel like, man, there's a tough road ahead in the second half of this schedule. All that stuff is valid, but that was my initial thought afterwards, that this is just kind of the latest example of the Bears just kind of beating us all over the head, saying, you know what, you're going to respect this. You're going to appreciate this, whether you want to or not.
Witness me.
Right.
This segment with Anthony Heron is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And there's so much to talk about here, but I just want to go to my favorite moment of this game, because I loved what Caleb Williams was doing with his legs throughout.
The Jackson Dart concussion.
No.
That was our prediction.
No, we don't wish.
That was our prediction for Marshall's favorite moment.
No, listen. Wow. We don't wish injury or harm on others.
All right.
But I will say this. I was told how great this pass rush was for the New York Giants. They didn't get a sack. Caleb Williams is Houdini. But on the play in which he scores the touchdown to put the Bears up, my favorite thing that happened is Darnell Wright dealing with a would-be spin. I guess it was a spin move from Brian Burns. I know you saw it. What was your takeaway from Brian Burns spinning into nowhere?
Oh, man. What was I feel like it's probably Layla would top my power rankings of being able to answer this question. What was the Sid Vicious finishing move back in the day where he would choke slam the guy in when it was still WWF? I haven't watched it since it's been WWE, but back in the day, he wasn't Sid Justice anymore. He'd become Sid Vicious, and he used to have this choke slam move. He would lift guys up with one hand over his head, and then he would pile drive them into the ground onto their back.
I had to go to YouTube. It's okay. The power bomb, because there we go. Remember. I remember like the figure four, but not right. The power. Things Ric Flair, I wasn't allowed to recreate at home, and that was one of them.
None of us were allowed to, but we did it anyway.
My brother and I tried the figure four, and he was like, this doesn't work. And I'm like, no, I have no idea why this is a move. But the power bomb looked like a move.
My brothers and I just played couch football. So there was there was no wrestling moves.
We watched too much wrestling, and like there was a plethora of cushions in the house from couches and such.
Oh, nice.
So we like would pile them up to create a wrestling mat. Things that don't matter. So the power bomb is your answer.
I've been in that position as a defensive lineman where you're caught in the air by a gargantuan individual. And when they punch you in your sternum while your feet are off the ground, it doesn't matter how heavy you are. And for a defensive lineman, Brian Burns isn't that heavy anyway. But, you know, Darnell Wright was able to beat him to the moment of truth. When you're rushing the edge, there's that moment of truth where you need to initially commit out of your stance to try and turn the corner. And Darnell Wright had shut down a couple of the edge rushes earlier, and Burns was able to beat him inside with some counter moves a couple of times during the game. But Darnell Wright's pass set was so exceptional in that moment. And he knows Brian Burns ain't about to run him over. That's not what Burns does, and that doesn't really happen to Darnell Wright. But what's so impressive about it is that as Burns spins inside and he's in the air, you can tell. Like, it's one thing to still have the elbow brace on. I've had to wear those at times. A lot of guys who just play the line and you get your arm caught between big individuals running opposite directions and elbows gets hyperextended and dislocated and everything. But Darnell Wright's arm very obviously still isn't working right, his right arm. And as Brian Burns spins inside, he doesn't even lift the right arm to try and catch the impact of Burns spinning inside. He just punches him in the chest with the left hand, and immediately you just see the entire body angle of Brian Burns go from perpendicular with the ground to parallel with the ground just as soon as Darnell Wright makes contact with him. And so when you start throwing around terms like unicorn, it can be a unique thing because you're looking for a unique physical specimen. But that combination of nimbleness and athleticism, explosive power and size, open field speed, all these physical attributes that we see from Darnell Wright, oddly enough, as his right arm hasn't been functioning, we've seen him become more technically proficient at a more consistent level. And that's a lot of credit to him for the rest of his game and the rest of his mentality needing to be near their peak to perform at this level in the NFL when only one of his two arms really seems to be functioning very well.
Well, yeah, okay, so he's down to one arm, and he does not have a horn, as we found out last week. So there's a lot to break
Thanks
down.
Thanks for that, Darnell.
Yeah, we really need to work through Darnell. Right. This segment with Anthony Heron is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. I loved how you put it, Ant, in talking about your conversations on the post-post game. The desire for the finished product to be apparent, to be here. Did Caleb Williams again take a step yesterday towards being a more finished product?
So what we saw late in game from Caleb is frankly what I believe we've seen most from him in his young NFL career. So that fourth quarter, those last couple of drives, if there's nothing else we know about Caleb, we know he's capable of that, just the physical aspect of it. What I found encouraging about how it was pulled off, though, is that it was in the midst of a game where, you know, like the Dallas game, where everyone played well for the Bears. And it's one thing for Caleb to put up huge numbers and to lead the Bears to a somewhat comfortable win in that game against the Cowboys, where everybody on offense just did their job really well.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the case yesterday.
Correct.
You got teammates dropping passes. You got Theo Benedict, you know, chasing folks around, trying to figure out where they're at and how to block them and everything else. And he's doing what Ben Johnson described as his Houdini act. And some of that is still Caleb patting the ball, Caleb maybe evacuating the pocket before he needs to. But there's reasons where when you have those talented pass rushers across from you where it's difficult for quarterbacks to maintain that comfort in the pocket if they don't necessarily trust that the protection is going to be there consistently. So you want to see continued growth with that. You want to see continued growth with him taking some RPMs off of some of these passes when it doesn't feel like it's always necessary. But there were drops, and things were imperfect, but he was still able to just through force of will and force of playmaking lead the Bears back into this thing, and you got timely plays from the defense. But we've seen that before. And that, to me, I find really encouraging that the Bears are now this season versus last season between Caleb's Houdini acts in the fourth quarter and the team as a whole. They're finding ways to win in the midst of that. You have a team compiling victory while it's very obvious there's still room for growth from your quarterback, from your receiver core, from your defense, and all these things that can continue to get better. And that's one of the things I find most encouraging about what we're seeing so far from Ben Johnson very early in his time as a head coach.
We're talking to Anthony Heron, the former NFL athlete, Iowa Hawkeye as well, and analyst for us at 670 The Score and Fox 32. I'm Raheemy Harrison-Grody. Our segment brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I do want to know what you think about, and take out the X factor here, because he was, minus CeeDee Gardner-Johnson. I do want to know what you think about the Bears' pass rush in this game, because it was not exactly performing up to standard previous to this. But without Dio Odangbo, you could really tell the difference, especially in the run game.
Yeah, and that's one of those things where because Dio got paid significant money, and part of the concern when he came in was, well, hey, this guy's never been a sack artist. He's going to be a sack artist now. You know, he's usually throughout his career been a guy who's pressured the pocket, gotten near the quarterback. That's one of those things I was discussing a bit during the post-post show yesterday evening also, where it's kind of subjective. How do you measure pressures? How do you measure drops? Which are which? Folks, you know, were calling in like, hey, it feels like the Bears have a bunch of drops. Roma Dunze drops them all the time. Well, drops are a little bit subjective, and QB pressures are a little bit subjective. But Dio Odangbo throughout his career, he's been a guy who's pressured the quarterback at a fairly – complementary level to other quality pass rushers he's been around. He's never been a big sack artist. What he's always done really well, he's rushed on the interior really well, so he's had that versatility where you can move him around the front, and he's always been a quality run defender on the defensive line, especially as an edge defender. So losing that, I was talking to you guys last week about now Austin Booker getting more significant run at the edge. The Giants saw that. The Vikings are going to see that and likely be salivating up front because Austin Booker doesn't have a lot of junk in his trunk. And so when you're a guy who has to at times play on the inside eye of a tight end or maybe at times a tight shade on the offensive tackle, when Austin Booker was at his most effective as a run defender was when Dennis Allen had him on the move, and you're allowing him to use what sometimes can be pass rush stunts, like a Tex stunt or a TE stunt, where that tackle penetrates and the end loops around. And then Austin Booker made some nice plays in the run when you're using twists, games, slants to allow him to crease the gap. But without Dio Odangbo out there, you saw Chris Williams getting some time on the edge. I would imagine we'll see more looks at Javon Dexter, being a guy who maybe occasionally will hit blocks at the defensive end also. And of course, having Joe Tryon Soyinka out there in the lineup too, you're hoping you'll get more out of him. But Austin Booker, as talented as he is as a pass rusher, I told you guys, and until proven otherwise, there's going to be concerns about Austin Booker having to consistently be a run defender because he's not there yet in his development.
It's interesting because you mentioned Austin Booker specifically, and I was almost shocked to find out he played 84%. 61 defensive snaps, 84% of the defensive snaps. That's more than anybody else on the defensive line. So that's crazy to me. And you're saying this is something that I guess Dennis Allen's going to have to figure out going forward. But to know that they were able to stand tall when it mattered most, be it against a backup quarterback in Russell Wilson, and I thought Jameson Winston should probably be ahead of him on the depth chart. But that's neither
I think
here.
You're right about that.
That's neither here nor there. Looking at the Rome Odunze usage and the usage of the weapons. Could this, the Olamide Zaccheaus drops, be the window that Ben Johnson doesn't necessarily need because he has the call, but could this be the opportunity now for Luther Burden III to get more playing time and opportunity going forward?
No, I hear what you're saying with that. And Olamide Zaccheaus, he, for one, all the drops we saw yesterday, and I don't know what the official tally ended up being. It felt like there might have been like at least five, maybe a half dozen drops in the game. I don't know what the official total
is. I think six is what we've
PFF
landed on.
PFF said six.
Yeah.
Some people say eight, and I'm not going to discredit them for that. I just go by PFF in my brain.
Well, as Anthony said, some of them are subjective, right, Anthony?
Right, yeah. And they're up to some interpretation. And some of the passes, like one thing that seemed really apparent from the Bears' passing attack was because they were facing the defense, it played a lot of single high coverage. You got a safety deep in the middle, and the outsides are going to be available to try and attack there. So a couple of the passes early that went off the hands of receivers in the end zone are on some seven routes or outbreaking routes into the end zone where Caleb's looking to strike. Because game plan wise, you go into it saying, here's a touchdown opportunity. They can't defend every blade of grass on the field. So if we got a chance to put six, here's where we're thinking we can attack. And, yeah, you had one rifle off the hands of DJ Moore in the end zone. Didn't look like he was going to come down inbounds on that one anyway. You had one from Olamide Zaccheaus. And to your question, Marshall, about him, OZ hasn't been a guy who struggled catching the ball. I'd say the vast majority of the receiver core, they haven't shown the volume of drops that we saw yesterday. The weather conditions, was that a factor in it? There's no reason to think the weather's going to get drastically better in the remaining home games the Bears have. It's going to be, what, three out of their last four games are going to be at Soldier Field in December and into January. So that's something they got to get figured out. I don't know how much time they spend practicing outdoors versus in. Ben Johnson has been accustomed to coaching a Lions offense that has constant access to their indoor facilities. They have an outdoor practice field available also in Detroit. But if Ben Johnson hasn't been a guy who's accustomed to practicing outside in the elements, it would look to me like that's something the Bears will have to make sure they're spending a significant amount of time doing for the receivers, for the place kickers and punters, for the specialists, for everyone who handles the football in these inclement weather conditions. For a young head coach, maybe these are the types of decisions he's not accustomed to making before that need to be a factor for the Bears moving forward, just to put your playmakers in these scenarios where if you haven't really handled a rock-hard football that often before, then you're going to do it in practice so it's more comfortable in a game. I don't know how much Luther Burden's done that, but I know this. There's nobody on this Bears roster that looks more comfortable catching the football anywhere it's near him than Luther Burden. So to your question, do I see him moving forward, maybe Olamide Zaccheaus moving down? I think in a similar conversation, what I've been having with you about the tight end position. I've seen the thing coming with Colston Loveland for a few weeks now. I was confident the Bears were seeing that. There's an apparent emergence of Luther Burden that seems very apparent to me, and it has been for a few weeks now. There's a comfort and a confidence that he just plays the position with. So as long as he's got the playbook down, there's going to be roles for him. There's going to be a spot for him somewhere within the lineup. He and Zaccheaus, they do different things within the Bears' route tree. So I don't even know that that's a real one-for-one swap. Olamide Zaccheaus is still going to be a part of this offense, but they got to find a way to get Luther Burden more targets.
Yeah, I agree. I think he does play with the poise that is not usually seen in a rookie. And that man played outside at East St. Louis and at Mizzou, right. So I trust that part of the game.
And
as
he
well.
Attacks the ball, Layla. Like when the ball is going towards him, Luther Burden continues his path toward the football.
Momentum.
Stand there and wait for the ball to come to them and catch it, and that's fine. That can work well as long as your quarterback is on target, but it's a QB-friendly route you're running when you continue your path toward the football because you just know you can go snag it. That's what Luther Burden does. Luther Burden knows if the ball is coming anywhere near him, like Clifford Franklin or whatever, you know, like that, the guy from, who was it, the replacements or whatever. Like the way Clifford Franklin talked about himself is what I feel when I actually watch Luther Burden play receiver. The guy's got a special skill set.
I love that comp, and I think that's hilarious that I love doing the, you're picturing this, but what you really mean is this. That's right. A good one. More with Anthony Heron coming up. We love to talk to Big Ant, and we like to revisit his nuggets that he sends us before the game, too. Yeah, Ant does send us nuggets. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. More with Big Ant next on Raheemy Harris and Grody on the Score.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Layla Raheemy, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Once again, not our prettiest game. We had a number of things go on and drops on offense, and just we weren't playing consistent. Our guys didn't waver. You know, they stayed consistent with it and fought until the end. You know, credit to our guys for fighting through there at the end and coming away with one.
Yeah, they came away with one. The Bears beat the Giants 24-20. We are talking about it with Anthony Heron. Anthony joining us via the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, here in Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. And we got into the Darnell Wright and Brian Burns duel a little bit previously. I know you talked about that on Fox 32 with Luke Kanellis. But I even want to go back to what you were talking about previous to that, and when you discussed the tight end role in production and how you see it play out. I think that was a key part of how the Bears ended up coming away with this win once they were able to get the ball and start producing in the fourth quarter.
And apologies, because I've been giggling the entire commercial break. I was looking up the Clifford Franklin quote from The Replacements, which was which I was thoroughly entertained by, and I was also I went back and watched the clip, and it just it put me in the mind of when Darnell Wright, you know, when he teakettled Brian Burns, and there was a moment where Brian Burns is looking up in fear, just trying to figure out whether or not this mammoth individual is about to pile drive him into the ground while he's already in this prone position, and again. I've been there where you've been put on the ground by some guy and you're looking up trying to figure out, is he about to try to finish me? If so, this is going to be thoroughly uncomfortable.
Finish him.
Okay, fortunately he didn't. Because, you know, Burns kind of put the arm up for a moment like just to see if he'd be able to like catch him if Darnell Wright was going to come do it. He didn't. So that was, I guess, a credit to Darnell Wright, a respect that Darnell Wright was paying to one of the better players in the sport by not doing him dirty like that. But Brian Burns was worried about it for a moment. Like, hey, chill out, chill out. Okay, we good. Then he got up and just continued on with the play.
But wait, what is the quote from The Replacements?
So there's, I think it's Orlando Jones. I think is the character is the actor playing the character Clifford Franklin in the movie.
That is Orlando Jones. I can confirm.
Okay, make so the guy who's been struggling with drops beforehand.
Jonesy.
The same guy. Yes, and you know they put Stick'Em all over Clifford Franklin's hands, and so he finally makes a big catch in the game. So he's gone from being this sort of meek, mild mannered individual to now he's getting the post game interview for making the big grab, and he's got like a fishnet shirt on. It's all sheer. He's got a towel. He's like suggestively grabbing his male parts while the female reporter's talking to him, and he's glaring into the camera. And she asks him about the big grab, and he says, "Well, the football is like a cold to Clifford Franklin. Clifford Franklin only one catching it. Clifford Franklin only one coming down with it." And that line and just the way Orlando Jones plays it just sends me into giggles every time I see that moment in the movie. So as I was describing the hands of Luther Burden, then that occurred to me in the moment. Just because I love the confidence that he catches the football with, especially in light of what we saw in the game from the Bears yesterday. But to the tight end position, to your question, Layla, I love the way that you have this combination now, especially with a healthy Cole Kmet back in the lineup. You have this combination of what they're confident in from the physicality that Cole Kmet can play the position with and the versatility he can bring as an inline blocker and a guy who they can use in that H-back sort of role as well, motion him into the backfield. He can block on the move. He can be a guy who sort of seals the edge for you to get some of these exterior runs and the now routes that they like to use with both DeAndre Swift and some of the receiver core. One thing that did stand out to me with some of that is it does feel like some of the more veteran defensive ends, whether you go back to Chase Young from the Saints or even yesterday Brian Burns, there were multiple times where edge defenders could tell what was coming. And there's been a few times here we've seen in some of the recent games where Caleb's trying to throw that quick swing route to DJ Moore or others. And you're seeing edge defenders with a really close opportunity to reach out and tip it or a near interception. And there is that fine line that you're operating with. And so whether it is the way that Cole Kmet is coming in motion or the way, you know, that like some of this ghost motion or orbit motion type of stuff that's in the Bears offense, it'll be a key for defenders at times. But then also it can be used, and we've seen the Bears utilize it to work against defenders as they operate, you know, counter to their tendencies they've shown with some of the motion as well. But it is a fine line that they're drawing with some of that. And Cole Kmet is frequently kind of an indicator of where the ball's going to end up because of the way the Bears have confidence in him as a blocker. And we've certainly seen the growth in Colston Loveland as a pass receiver.
Anthony, correct me if I'm wrong, but Ben Johnson maybe a little too cute at the beginning of this game, not running the football in the manner that we all kind of expected him to, and then changing and adjusting, and then the usage of DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai, I found a little bit curious to start the game. Or did they just not execute well enough?
I wasn't surprised with the split. I still think DeAndre Swift is the lead back on the team, and so he ended up with, I think he ended up with 13 carries.
Yep,
and
80
Manungai
yards.
Had seven.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there was an urgency that DeAndre Swift ran the ball with that I loved. He was disappointed after the game. He was still hung up on the fourth down drop that he had. But there was also a really emphatic fourth down run that he had where he was stopped well short of moving the sticks, where he ran through a couple of tacklers and moved the chains for the Bears. But it did surprise me the approach on offense, Marshall, just that there wasn't more volume to the run game because the Bears have had success with it. The Giants have been one of the more porous run defenses in football. And it felt like there was a volume to the passing attack that kind of caught me off guard, especially in those chilly weather conditions at Soldier Field. I thought it was going to be – there'd be more precipitation, more rain, or even snow that they might deal with. And there were flurries, and you were out there, Gross. But, you know, I guess Ben Johnson just threw warm-ups, felt like Caleb was throwing the ball well enough and was locked in enough, and he liked the advantage that he felt like he could try to feature on the outside. But – it seemed pretty obvious the advantage the Bears could try to focus on with the ground attack, and I was surprised Ben Johnson didn't lean into that more.
I was actually laughing during the break too, Big Ant, and it's because are you a fan of the band Chicago? Do you know their catalog?
If you sang their songs, I'm sure I would know them, but I'm not placing which songs go with Chicago.
Okay, well this probably.
What do they say?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like Marshall said that his favorite Chicago song is "Hard for Me to Say I'm Sorry," which was a ballad in the late Peter Cetera times. But if you're not a big Chicago,
is it Cetera or is it Cetera?
Maybe Cetera. Maybe okay. Maybe Cetera. 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 But I'll move along. I'll take that up with Marshall at another time.
Okay.
Right. Why is Montez Sweat looking so good?
Grody, you're hilarious. Objectively.
And I didn't end up coming back around to Layla's question because she started more talking pass rush and
That's my fault.
Austin Booker.
Right. No, that's why I brought it back. I want more.
After all that we've been through, I will make it up to you.
More so.
Hard for me to say I'm sorry.
That's the song.
Do you know the song now?
You would know.
Yeah, definitely know the song.
Does anybody really know what time it is? That's a Chicago song. Stay the Night.
25 or 6 to 4, a favorite of high school and college bands.
Bingo. Yeah, bingo, right. Bingo, bingo. Yes.
I like where we're headed with this.
I'll send you a YouTube video.
I'd like to spend it with you.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Saturday in the Park? Is that what that is?
Does this make you feel better about talking about Montez Sweat and the pass rush that was mostly provided by CeeDee Gardner-Johnson?
You could do it over this.
I got no problem doing it over this. So Montez Sweat, one of the areas where his game has expanded is because of the fact that when he normally starts his rush down the middle of an offensive blocker so frequently, he doesn't as frequently get off that block and transition from being a run defender into a pass rusher. And that can be really tough to do. One of the reasons that Dennis Allen loves having bigger defensive linemen, especially their edge defenders, is that he wants to make sure you're fortified up front against the run. And Montez Sweat is big and physical enough to do that effectively. But what he's done more often now is work directly to the edge of blockers. I was talking to you guys about this earlier in the season where he spends so much time down the middle of blockers that it makes his life really hard to try and eventually work to the edge of the guy. And in a similar fashion to Max Crosby, where that comparison of the amount of snaps that Crosby plays, the energy that Crosby plays the game with, he's just a different style of defensive end than Montez Sweat. Max Crosby plays more consistently a finesse game where he's avoiding blocks. That's not necessarily what Montez Sweat does a lot of, but he's been doing more of it recently where he's just coming out of his stance, getting speed up the field, coming out of his stance, using counter moves inside. They've been flopping him to both ends in certain situations. And so it's not only about Montez Sweat being in better shape, in my opinion. I know the idea of his conditioning has come up a bit. But I think his style of play is suiting him being able to maintain more snaps in game as well, because he's not just coming out of his stance running into 300 pounds every snap or running into 600 pounds every snap. He is a little bit tight in his waist and in his lower body, but he's speedy enough and he's fluid enough as an athlete to just make some avoid moves here and there and play with a little bit more finesse, to kind of be like water when he's got that chance to just make some moves instead of just running into contact snap after snap. And he's doing that more. It's allowing him to play in the backfield more often than he was early in the season.
That is Anthony Heron. We always love talking to him. You can catch his work, of course, on Fox 32. Luca Nellis, Cassie Carlson, Tina Wynn, and the team always doing good work. And then, of course, right here on 670 The Score.
And I will be on The Score tomorrow night as well, Layla. So Tuesday night.
Nice.
We got I love
the
it.
Score. You're in it for them 3 hours long.
Yeah.
Wow.
Six to nine?
You know it,
man. Are you 6 to 9 on Tuesday?
6 to 9. That is correct.
There it is. I didn't have that programming memo. Thank you for telling us.
I might call in. I might call in.
So I think we have a show open already.
I'm counting on it.
Always appreciate it, Ant. Thank you so much for the time. So, yeah, call Ant. Call Ant tomorrow night. Keep listening, by the way, for your chance to win tickets to Football After Dark at Moretti's in Bedford Park on Tuesday, December 2nd, with special guest Nishan Wright and me.
Nice.
I get to ask him questions.
Good dude. Fun guy to talk to.
I'm excited. Yeah, yeah. I saw his post-game interview yesterday on Marquee, too.
Good.
It's all sponsored by TimberTech Decking and Railing, number one in premium decking. Order free samples at TimberTech.com, and it's brought to you by Remy Martin, VSOP. This is my city. Coming up next, George McCaskey once called him a punk. Next thing you know, he's giving the breakdown and the post-game speech in the locker room and getting a game ball. We always knew you had it in you, C.D. Gardner-Johnson. Let's take a ride on the wave that is the man in the experience next.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating canvas sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, baby, a blitzing C.J. Gardner-Johnson making an instant impact. The ball is out, and there it is. The Bears come up for the takeaway. 3rd and 7, Wilson gets sacked by Gardner-Johnson.
I was home for almost 2 months, bro. Missing ball. And being around this group, y'all brought the love back for it. They're winning for it, and I'm just happy to be a part of a great group. Let's keep this rolling.
That is CeeDee Gardner-Johnson, who I would have never bet in a million years circa 2020 after the Bears punched him in the face twice that he'd be the one getting the game ball and also giving the post-game speech in the locker room. But you know what? Life comes at you fast. Way to show out, CeeDee Gardner-Johnson. 2 sacks, by the way, for CeeDee. To go with an incredible line out of him as well. 9 total tackles. That's how you get it done. We have some breaking news, and I think CeeDee Gardner-Johnson may have had something to do with it. Breaking news on The Score, brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories which are all that Brian Daboll has with the Giants now. Multiple reports. Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter saying that the Giants are firing coach Brian Daboll. Rappaport said a promising and frustrating season leads the New York Giants to have an opening.
The Bears got a coach fired.
The Bears got another coach fired.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that a data point getting someone fired?
Absolutely. Yes, it is.
Relative to what's been going on with this franchise, relative to last year.
So last year, the Bears were out here making history, firing coaches
there,
for the first time in history midseason. Now they're getting other coaches fired in season.
Well, the thing about Eberflus, though, is that was the first time that had ever happened.
That's what, yeah.
Hey, so, like, you know, this is But to have, for the Bears to get another coach fired.
You could also look at it as a cautionary tale because he was a star there his first year. Everybody loved Brian Daboll, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, and look at the coach that the Bears have. And, yes, Brian Daboll was a genius, too, coming from Buffalo. And look what he did
there.
Well,
that's how Daniel Jones got paid, right? Because he had the one season. And people were like, okay, this is it.
Right.
But they are 2-8. For the fourth straight year. I didn't know that.
L4. You go back. Like, they have done nothing since the last time they played in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty bad.
Actually, you know what I've been working on for my social medias? I'll share it with you guys.
What she's working on.
Since the Black Cat ran onto the field in the Giants and Cowboys game years ago, no team has been the same since. And I like cats, and I like black cats, but sometimes
Kittredge.
Sometimes there's something to it. I think he's a white cat.
Kitty, yeah.
But
he's a white cat.
He is a white cat, yeah.
Yeah, that's another point for another day. So, yes, multiple reports, Jordan Schultz, Diana Russini, Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, choose your fighter, Brian Daboll.
Out as
the Giants head coach after his team lost to the Bears 24-20.
May I take you guys into the locker room? May I?
Please do.
Take you on an adventure into the locker room.
Is it going to be as big of an adventure as the odyssey that is C.D. Gardner-Johnson's career in life?
Oh, it is going to be all of that. As you mentioned, Layla, just going through some of the specifics on the day for C.D. Gardner-Johnson. The first quarter, he had a sack. Third quarter, the forced fumble, as you mentioned, of Jackson Dart. Nashawn Wright, of course, is the one to recover. A fourth quarter sack. And this is where we begin our conversation with C.D. Gardner. The fourth quarter sack, a loss of 11. Minnesota is leading at the time 20-17. So we began the conversation with the collective media right there.
What is that feeling like when you get dialed up and it's just a free shot at the quarterback like that in a huge spot, obviously?
You got to make your opportunities count. Those type of quarterbacks, you see them make guys miss, by the way, how Caleb make people miss. So the defense have a lot of trust in guys like me go after the quarterback and got to get them down so the guys won't cover for long and get off the field.
What went into your decision to go for that forced fumble on Dart, and how much do you think that changed momentum for the whole team?
Well, I got tired of running the ball. So that was it. Made a play.
I miss what you were saying on that forced fumble. What was the mentality there?
Man, I got tired of him running the ball. No disrespect. I just like it's just like an aggravating when he breaks for 20, 50 yards. He's playing great coverage. So I find a way to get off the field to get the ball out of his hands eventually.
That actually goes through your head. Yeah. This is how I can stop them.
Yeah, this is the way we stop him. Just making plays on defense and attacking the ball like ball players. When there's a chance to punch out like Peanut Tillman, go punch the ball or finally get to the ball.
And how important is it that Nashawn Wright is right there? I know you haven't been here all year, but he's always seems to be in the right place.
That's my guy.
Okay.
That's my guy. I know Shawnee actually for a couple of years. We haven't got to play with each other, but seeing his story through the Netflix series while his pops and stuff, he's a great player. And, like, I just want the best for him. So for him to be in the right place, that's God.
Shawnee, Layla, you're going to be hanging out with Shawnee.
I am soon. For Football After Dark.
Yeah, but that's C.D. Gardner-Johnson. I have enjoyed my interactions with him so far.
Well, he's been blunt. And the bluntness on you with the follow-up question about, well, what made you want to go for the fumble? Man, listen, I
didn't get it. I didn't get it the first time when the first question was asked.
No.
Like, I didn't understand what he was saying.
But you understood the second time.
I did.
He's like, basically, Jackson Dart is doing whatever he wants out here, and we got to put a stop to that.
He's like, screw it. I'm just going to take the ball from him. You can't
have
it anymore.
That's pretty much what happened.
Yes.
And it's – you know, Ray, one of Ray's happiness times. I don't know how to put it. You're a little like happy time. One of the things you enjoy.
Text her, by the way.
The C.D. Gardner-Johnson photos for social media for the Harris
Ray
and Grody account.
On his game.
That's right.
The one this time is from a game and he's celebrating.
Now we can use Bears photos with him in a Bears uniform as opposed to, you know, the great pictures when he was with the Eagles and they won the Super Bowl or whatever wild looking pictures that are out there of CD.
I also just love the concept of Dennis Allen being like, oh, you mad? Cool. You want to blitz? I don't care what position you play. Let's go. And that's pretty much what happens. Remember Jaquan Brisker's like, yeah, use me. Dennis Allen's like, you mad? Here's a couple blitzes. And, CD Gardner Johnson, you're frustrated by Jackson Dart? Get at him. Here's a blitz for you. Force fumble? Yeah. Go get it. You know, like, I love that. I love the, let's take this energy and use it.
Couple of texters. Just saying, maybe that this texter is behind a little bit. 815. Yes, it is. You're trying to correct me and telling me that it's CJ. No, he told all of us when he signed here that his name is CD.
Yeah, we were ahead of that curve, yeah. Sir. He talked to
us.
Yes,
sir.
The reason we're calling C.J. Gardner-Johnson C.D. is because that's what he wants to go
by. Sir!
When you have 9 tackles and 2 sacks and a forced fumble, then guess what? You're C.D. to us.
Sir! Good, better, best, sir!
Team leading 9 tackles. I think that context is important because he was the man yesterday. And I know people will say, well, he was unblocked on his sacks, but he was able to execute. That's
How many sacks did Montez Sweat have? Less than C.D. Gardner-Johnson.
He still had 1.5, though. I want to just say he continues to get the job done. The other thing is, and I dare you all to imagine a world in which CD, or for those of you who are behind or confused,
it's CD. Yes,
Gardner
again, we
Johnson.
Have more. I love that we have like new listeners.
No,
That's what it's telling me here. But
here's what we're telling you, listeners.
I was there. You weren't.
There's a new world order.
I would like you all to imagine a world. Those of you here with me in studio, those of you listening, watching on Twitch, YouTube, whatever you're doing, however you're consuming this program, imagine a world in which this pickup buys them time until the rest of their guys are healthy. Imagine a world in which you have Gardner Johnson and you have TJ Edwards and you have Kyler Gordon and maybe, possibly, you have Jalen Johnson.
Ooh,
Jalen. Imagine that world.
I just want a ludicrous blitz, everybody.
Oh,
like,
Levy.
That's what I just want a, like, ludicrous blitz. Like, do you remember when it was actually, I think it was Al Harris calling the second half of the Bills game when he did double safety blitz up, like, 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter or something? That's what I want. I want that world.
Okay.
Ludicrous blitzes.
It's a fun world to live in.
Like, but yeah, you know what I'm saying, though. Like,
when I'm bad, just you're bad.
I just love the concept of I'm like, oh, is there somebody you hate on this field as a DC? Let me scheme that for you. Ba-boom!
Maybe Greg Olson's analysis not going for it on the goal line got Brian Daboll fired.
I think it did.
The TV copy.
Oh, yeah. Greg Olson was very... He made a point to talk about it in a way that made it sound like that decision, when they decided to go up 20-10 and not take the free yards in this economy... That was the nail in the coffin for the game for the Giants, for sure.
Poor Brian Daboll.
Also, for the people who don't believe that his name is CD, this is CD Gardner-Johnson talking about.
Oh, here we go.
CJ Gardner-Johnson.
CD. CD. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
There you go. See? See, that was my voice on there, because sometimes to remind us who is talking, you will, as a reporter, you will say the person's name. I said CJ, just like the texters. He changed his name to CD. I will stop by. I promise this. I am going to stop by his locker this week to ask him if he is still CD, because it could have changed.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe he's back to CJ.
No, you
maybe
know what
he's
you
Chauncey.
Do? Here's
I don't know.
How you do it. You say, hey, the broadcast kept calling you. The Fox broadcast kept saying CJ.
Oh, they were.
So, yeah. And so then, therefore, you can still qualify it yet again.
They're out of town stupid. That's why. The
I
national
actually
announcers.
Really like Greg Olson, Joe Davis, and Pam
Oliver. Oh, of course.
That was
I
a great
like
broadcast.
Them.
Yeah,
so
it was kind of the
like
opposite of the one from the previous week. Also, the Twitch mob is saying that they knew it was CD.
See, well, the Twitch. What's up, Twitchers?
Faithful.
What's
they
going
know.
On?
Now, I can't read all the comments because that's
Love
a full-time
guys.
Job, but yes.
According to Brad Biggs, if you liked that broadcast yesterday, this upcoming game against the Big Vikings. Seed. Kevin Burkhardt, Tom Brady, Aaron Andrews, Tom Rinaldi, another A-team.
Yo, that's a big deal.
Yo, what's up with these A-teams?
We get, Tom Brady, you know what's happening? That game against the Steelers is getting flexed.
I was about to say, are y'all ready for flex? Because some things are getting flexed.
There was a game that was flexed last year, by the way.
I brought that up to Cole Kmet yesterday, and he said one thing that was hilarious. He goes, the NFL loves us because we play very entertaining games, even if they're, and I said to him, you guys are going to be getting flexed, and he said, I don't want to get flexed. He's like, I like noon games. I said,
Everybody likes noon games.
Does every reporter in this locker room right now would prefer that you play
get ready
noon.
For the Sunday night game.
Cole Kmet needs an interview on a regular basis.
Cole, come on.
It's time, Cole. You've been blocking like a madman. Like, everybody likes what you're doing. Come back to the people.
He's a 10-bear player. I mean, like, I can't not have a 10-bear player on this show at some point in time. Notre Dame, too.
I mean, he checks all the Bears boxes here.
I'll stop by his locker this week too, see if maybe Cole wants to jump on with us. How about that?
Hey, he should. Just pop on, Cole.
He's been very quiet. He's been reserved.
Pop on and pop off.
Yeah. He's still the same Cole Kmet, though. Trust
me. Exactly. Coming up next, it is Five on It. We have five important questions for you and our crew. We'll do it all next on Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.